This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Sub in the Evan for the Brian this afternoon because he's on the board and you're on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. And Evan, I learned something new in this last little commercial break. And I quickly, you know, I'm trying to do a little research on it, try to figure out the details so I can share it, but I stand corrected. There is a remedy if you voted already via absentee ballot for Tom Nelson or Alex Lazary. There is a remedy for you to be able to reconcile that, and we have one caller specifically to thank for this information. Want to dive into it a little bit. We got Michael calling in from an undisclosed location, but Michael, tell me what you know about spoiled ballots and remedying spoiled ballots here in the state of Wisconsin.
Sure, no problem. I'm in Fitchburg. So you can anytime, unless something's changed recently, anytime up until the Thursday before the election, you can get a hold of your clerk and request that the ballot that they have in their office be spoiled. And you'll go into your clerk's office, they'll rip it in half, put in an envelope, and they'll give you a new ballot if you want to do that. Now, one smart thing to do before you ask them is go to myvote.wi.gov and make sure that the ballot is at the clerk's office. I don't think there's anything they could do for you if the ballot's not already there. So you might want to check that first and save everyone some time and make sure it's there. But if it is, according to the WEC, a memo they put out in 2020, it looks like, you're allowed to revote.
Yeah, I'm looking at some Wisconsin Elections Commission, pretty much like Q&As, essentially ahead of the 2020 November election when absentee voting was pretty much at its peak. It was the largest election to that point. The state had conducted a spring primary in general, but then also that fall election in 2020. And that was the largest election that we had seen absentee ballot use because of the pandemic, because of the popularity that presidential elections bring to voting in the state. They put out this Q&A in 2020 about spoiling absentee ballots. And so I did not know that information. It was still news to me, even though they put this out a few years back. I find it fascinating because you can remedy that. And so I appreciate that. I want to repeat the deadline. It is the Thursday by 5 p.m., by 5 p.m. the Thursday before the election. So the Thursday before the election this year will be August 4th. Up to 5 p.m. on August 4th, you can remedy a ballot cast for a candidate that is no longer in the race that you had sought to. As long as the clerk has it, you can and get rid of that. And so I appreciate the added information, Michael, because I think that's extremely helpful for both myself and I didn't vote absentee yet, but it's good for me to know, and I appreciate you being able to share that information with me and the listening audience today. I really appreciate your call.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the great show.
Thank you so much. And so, yeah, it's fascinating. There is a remedy, not ranked choice voting remedy, like we had discussed earlier in the show, but I do find that interesting. So if you cast your ballot already, there's still hope. You got until 5 p.m., 1 week from tomorrow, to be able to remedy that spoiled ballot. And you could do it up to three times, which I find fascinating.
I think I know what the breaking news chyron on Fox is going to be next week. Something about spoiled ballots and fraud.
Yeah, you think the Fox executives are tuning in right now?
Just the rhetoric is right. Spoil, you know? Like, oh my, it's so convoluted. This stuff, first of all, that was an amazing call. Like, thank you so much for that contribution.
Yeah,
I also learned that. And I'm also upset that I didn't know that. This system is so tangled up.
Well, the absentee ballot voting and that is something that the state's been doing and the country's been doing for a really long time, but it wasn't something that everybody used. You've got a handful of states. I want to say five or six states around the country that do all vote by mail, which I think is fantastic because it lowers the barrier. If you receive a ballot and you're asked to fill that ballot out and send it back, but you're automatically set to receive that ballot, that is a way to increase participation. And these states put in programs, the state of Wisconsin's absentee ballot program, to verify the who is requesting ballots, who is able to sign the ballots and then send them back in and have them counted. And all of the safeguards that are there make it a safe and reliable way to vote, but only people overseas, only people with disabilities were really using the system before the world was thrown into chaos and the COVID-19 pandemic hit in 2020. And the fact that we were able to have a system in place that got scaled up and used so that voting was accessible to everyone through this means, I think is terrific. But the fact that there are actors out there, bad faith actors out there, that want to throw doubt and chaos and say that it is not a trustworthy way to vote is crazy, because the program already thought of this. The program already thought about, well, what if I use absentee ballot voting and say 13 days before an election, my candidate of choice drops out of the race? There is a remedy for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can fix a spoiled ballot, and you can go and take care of that at your local clerk's office. So I find that fascinating. And I really appreciate your call, Michael. You can be like Michael and all of our other great callers so far this show. 844-967-2789. You can share some killer information like that, or you can just share a tangent about what's going on and your thoughts on the headlines today. You can call or text that number, 844-967-2789. So the news of the day: Alex Lazary, vice president on leave from the Milwaukee Bucks, is dropping out of the race, throwing it into chaos for the U.S. Senate primary, Democratic primary, that is taking place on August 9th, 13 days from now. He endorsed Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and it's shaping up. There are all of these candidates that were running: Tom Nelson, Alex Lazary, and numerous other candidates besides Godlewski and Barnes are still going to be on the ballot. But I have a feeling this is going to come down to a Godlewski-Barnes showdown. And this is my thought, Evan. And before I get to the other Wisconsin headlines, I want to share what I believe may have also led to today's decision. Because I don't think somebody spends more than $12 million on a campaign to get elected to be the next senator of a state and drops out less than 2 weeks before, just because it's not the money ran out. That was Tom Nelson's tweet on Monday. The money dried up for the Nelson campaign. That's why they had to get out. It wasn't a money problem. I have a feeling one of two things. Either party insiders outside of Wisconsin, so national Democratic figures, were hinting to the Lazary campaign that it was time to get out of the race. You don't bow out, you don't invest that much money into trying to get elected to be senator. You don't have people filling out ballots for your name already in the election process, and then just bow out 13 days ahead of time. I have a feeling, I mean, I'm not saying any names specifically, but there are a lot of national names that came out and endorsed Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in this race. I don't know if there was a specific conversation to the Lazary campaign saying, hey, this is the candidate that the National Party is picking. I don't think the National Party would go as far to do something like that. They're not going to put their thumb on the scale of a crowded primary like we have here in Wisconsin. But that could be one of the options. The second thought is, because of the results of the straw poll, because where the DPW's convention showed the activists of the party, the dedicated Democrats in Wisconsin that went up to La Crosse and attended the convention and did a straw poll for who they supported in the primary, the fact that Alex Lazary was in a distant third, I'm curious to know if his internal polling showed that same makeup of the electorate occurring 13 days from now.
My internal polling showed that, yeah, he was far, far behind. People just didn't buy it. They didn't like the idea of the son of a billionaire doing the good work.
And you saw that in some of the Marquette Law School polling, in a head-to-head matchup between Ron Johnson and any of the Democratic candidates, Alex Lazary was lagging behind in those matchups. I've heard the sentiment that, well, what's the difference between two millionaires going at it to see who's the next senator is going to be? There are comparisons that were made in that regard. But I think it may have been almost an image thing, as far as, well, you don't want to spend more than $12 million to end up in a distant third on election day. That's simply not what you want to do.
To preserve some of that for next time,
but
really.
But if you spend $12 million but then graciously bow out 2 weeks before the primary, throw your support behind who you believe is going to be the likely candidate, that makes the distant third showing a lot more like, hey, that was inevitable.
Then you have guys like me coming into work in Nissan saying, wow, what a guy.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Well, and I don't think it was all just for gracious looks, but I have a feeling maybe that could have been one of the cases as well. So I'm not quite sure. We're going to hear a lot more reporting about this, I believe. It's going to be interesting to see where the field lies after this really huge shakeup that happened today with the Alex Lazary campaign announcing that he is suspending his bid for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate 13 days from now. And so those election results are going to get tabulated. We're going to have some really fun here on across the civic media stations, Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, as well as the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. And we're going to be doing some election night coverage. We're going to have correspondents going out to different parties of the candidates. We're going to be having a ton of different debates and breakdowns of the election results on August 9th. Going to be some special election night coverage from 8 to 11 p.m. here on these stations. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that as well, because all your favorite show hosts are going to be participating in those conversations, breaking down and sharing live on-the-ground coverage. But the field is definitely different today. It's shaping up to be a two-way race for the Democratic nomination to U.S. Senate here in the state of Wisconsin. And it's not like we're going to have a lot of polling going on from now to 13 days from now. It's going to come down to where individuals and voters want to throw their support in the Democratic field. And I for one, am fascinated to see what happens in these 13 days. It's going to be a very interesting time. But I want to dive now into a headline involving the individual all of these candidates in the Democratic field are looking to replace. That is incumbent Senator Ron Johnson. And Ron Johnson saw himself on the opposite side of another bipartisan vote in the U.S. Senate today. And I find it interesting because there's a lot of these. There's individuals out there that contend the filibuster fosters bipartisanship. Filibuster we can't do away with because it alone is the thing creating bipartisanship. Ron Johnson has said that. And he again just finds ways to vote against all of these bipartisan efforts that are making their way through the U.S. Senate. This is a headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ron Johnson votes against bipartisan legislation to ramp up production of U.S.-made semiconductor chips. A lack of semiconductor chips is a big reason why we are seeing a lot of the inflation and supply chain problems that we're facing. When you can't have, there's a high demand and a low amount of these semiconductor chips.
And we're talking literally growing silicon crystals, right? I mean, it's an expensive process. It takes a long time. You can't just say, okay, let's make more of them. So yeah, these supply chain issues sort of stacked up hard. We're going to be feeling this for years.
Yeah. And so the U.S. needs to try to find a way, because for many years, manufacturing of these semiconductor chips went overseas, out of our country's control. The manufacturing of them, even though we rely on them in so many different products, everything that's got a smart whatever before it uses these semiconductor chips. There's a shortage of cars on lots because all of these cars have the smart technology that need these semiconductor chips. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson says, well, that's just, you know, corporate socialism. We're just helping out the big business. Bringing back manufacturing jobs to the United States, that's corporate socialism.
Let's get a salmon farm.
His tax cut, you know, helped include pass-throughs that gave hit donors to his campaign alone, like $200 million in tax savings. That is not corporate socialism. But allowing the United States to become dependent on semiconductor chips, that's corporate socialism. Ron Johnson, fascinating case study. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.